Nor may Allah's mercy be upon me and you that the righteous predecessors, may Allah be pleased with them, exhibited a great interest in the Sunnah's memorization, documentation, verification and transmission. They were especially cautious concerning the status of the narrators of the traditions, their travel seeking the hadith, and especially the high transmissions of it increased. What is meant by the high transmission is the closest to the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he utters the hadith. Abu al-Aliya rahimahullah said, quote, "We used to hear the narrations on the authorities of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in Basra in Iraq, and we would not be content until we ride to Al-Madinah to hear it from their mouth." End of quote. To hear it from their mouth. This is reported by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi in Al-Kifaya fi Ilm al-Riwayah. They also utilize the studying, reviewing and writing means besides their accurate memorization and piety in order to preserve the hadith. So they utilize the studying, reviewing and writing ideas and writing means rather besides their accurate memorization and piety in order to preserve the hadith. They used to conduct debate meetings in order to check the ways of hadith transmissions as well as the narrators, a process that will help distinguish the weak from the sound hadith. The most vivid characteristics of this period were as follows. Number one, the compiling of the Sunnah, the period of At-Tabi'een, the period of the successors. This took place at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his ruling, which only lasted for 2 years, between 99 and 101 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rahimahullah wa iyyakum, he ordered the ulama, the scholars like Abu Bakr bin Hazm, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri and others, to collect the hadith of Allah's messenger, fearing the extinction of knowledge and its people. This is considered to present the first attempt to collect the Sunnah. Then the era of classification of hadith began in the form of masanid, plural of musnad, and compilations, either according to chapters, like chapter of Iman, chapter of Salah, chapter of Fitan, chapter of Jihad, chapter of purification, etc., as in case of Imam Malik's Muwatta. Then Al-Bukhari and Muslim in their Sahih collections, and the same with the Sunnah, or classified the same with the Sunan, meaning Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan At-Tirmidhi, Sunan An-Nasa'i, etc., or classified according to the Sahaba, such that all the narrators of a particular companion were compiled together, as in the case of Imam Ahmad's Musnad and others like it. Secondly, safeguarding the Sunnah from foreign material. When the fitna occurred, started by the killing of the third Khalifa Uthman radiallahu anhu, who died in the year 35, corresponding to 651, forging sayings concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to take place. Either due to fanatic blind imitation to some opinion, or in support of an innovation, or because of enmity and hatred against Islam, or to attain some cheap materialistic gains. All of this motivated the learned scholars to check the hadith transmissions and its narrators, pursuing that with high levels of just critique. Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, the one who compiled Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi said to us, and Allah knows best, the thing that opted them, meaning the scholars of hadith, to take these measures is nothing but the sincere advice to Muslims. We don't think, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, we don't think that they meant to slander or defame people or indulge in backbiting. They, according to us, meant to expose the weakness of those narrators so that they be known. And it is because some of them were people of bid'ah, adherent to innovation, and others were accused in forging hadith, while others were heedless and err a lot. So those imams in hadith wanted to disclose their status out of compassion for the deen, for Islam, and as a manifestation. Because the offering of a testimony in matters related to deen, to Islam, is by all means more deserving to confirm than that required in matters of individual rights and wealth. End of talk of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. Accordingly, the scholars of hadith devoted great attention to the studying of the hadith isnad. Look at this word, isnad, which means transmission route, meaning the chain of reporters. Could you write down, brother, small kindness, this isnad, isnaad, and al-matin, meaning the hadith text. For now, the hadith is composed of two parts: the isnad, the chain of narrators, and the al-matin, which is hadith text. Now, isnad means chain of reporters. Al-matin meaning the hadith text. Okay. With respect to the isnad, they were interested in examining the status of the narrators, correct names, family names, nicknames, lineage, history, their scholars and their students, their travel, their moral character, accuracy in memorization, and trustworthiness, vis-a-vis inaccuracy, forgetfulness, lying, cheating, etc. They authored many classifications dealing with the narrator's conditions and biographies. They authored that, and these are known as Kutub al-Rijal, books of hadith men, and Kutub al-Jarh wa al-Ta'dil, books of contesting and setting right. In scrutinizing the reporters of a hadith, authentication or disparaging remarks were documented in these books. For example, they would say about a person, he is trustworthy, he is reliable, meaning from the chain of narrators. He makes mistakes, he is weak, he is abandoned, matruk, by the scholars of hadith. He's a liar, he's a fabricator, etc. They pursued this magnificent task knowing that this is part of the preservation of Islam. That's why Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, who died in the year 181 of Hijrah, and one of the illustrious teachers of Imam al-Bukhari, said the great saying of his, which could be written in gold. He said, al-isnadu min ad-deen, walawla al-isnadu laqala man sha'a ma sha'. The isnad, the chain of narrators, is part of the deen, is part of Islam. Had it not been for the isnad, whoever wished to would have said whatever he liked. This is reported in Sahih Muslim in the introduction by Sahih Muslim, by Muslim in his introduction for his compilation of the Sahih. Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala also said, لم يكونوا يسألون عن الإسناد. The people of hadith didn't use in the beginning to ask about the chain of narrators. فلما وقعت الفتنة. However, after the fitna had occurred, meaning the killing of Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه, they said, name your men, name your narrators. They would then examine if they were from أهل السنة, so their hadith would be accepted. Or if they were of Ahl al-Bid'ah, adherence to innovation, then their narration would not be accepted. This is reported by Imam Muslim in his introduction to his book, Sahih Muslim. Now, with respect to al-matn, to the text of there, which represents the saying attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, the scholars of hadith examined the hadith texts as to their safety from any defect, especially the unapparent ones. Especially the unapparent defects, these were picked up only by those scholars whom Allah had bestowed upon them keen insight, comprehensive memory, intelligence, and fair knowledge of narrators and texts. Through their research, they were able to reveal any disparaging factors. As Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, that's why the learned scholars of hadith were keen to relate the literal text, not the meaning. Some of them made this obligatory, meaning to relate the literal text only. And those who permitted the transmission of the meaning conditioned that the narrator is knowledgeable of the use of the proper wording that conveys the meaning, lest there be an alteration in the actual meaning. They also freed the texts from tasheef, which is misreading, by pointing them out whenever they hear them. Furthermore, they examined the narrations against each other in order to find out which of them is mutawatir, which of them is consecutive in wording or meaning, and which is single. Those in agreement or disagreement with other narrations also were checked. This is known in the science of hadith, this is known as al-i'tibar, judgment by comparison. This is known as al-i'tibar, judgment by comparison, which is used to find out the successive and supporting narrations for a particular hadith. In addition, they also siphoned the texts from shudud, from irregularities, in which the text is opposing that which is more widely known and preserved. The widely known and preserved is known as al-mahfuz. So they siphoned that which is irregular. It is evident, therefore, that the Sunnah have cultivated the attention of the scholars and their efforts, leading to its preservation, all of which was by Allah's leave. It was said to Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah, "What about these fabricated traditions?" He replied, "The Jahabidha, the great scholars, will stand up for them." And then he recited the saying of Allah, "Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Verily we have without doubt sent down the dhikr, Quran and authentic sunnah, and we will assuredly guard it from corruption. This is Surah Al-Hijr, Surah 15, verse 9. So this really brings now the methods of preservation from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way to the end of the Tabi'in era. And inshallah now, the next talk inshallah regarding this aspect will be Hujjiyatul Sunnah, the validity of a Sunnah, the validity of the Sunnah in Sharia, in Islam. So that inshallah will be our next topic بإذن الله تعالى. وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتقبل. I ask Allah سبحانه to accept this and to make it sincere for His face سبحانه وتعالى, and to make it a benefit for me and you in this life and in the hereafter. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين, وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم.